それでは最後のニュースです。トランプ大統領が国民に向けて演説します。
250年、アメリカは地球上で最も古い公国だ。我々は地球上で最も自由な国民だ。そして我々は地球上で最も強く最も力ある国だ。
そして神の恵みのもと、アメリカ合衆国は人類の歴史上最も成功し、最も偉大な功績を成し、最も突出した国家である。
250年もの長きにわたり、自由、正義、平等、自治、そして比類なき繁栄がかつて世界のどこでも見られなかったほどにこの地で花開いてきたのだ。忘れてはならない。この国で我々が築き上げたものは決してこの世界の自然な姿ではないということ。
それは杞憂なものだ。かけがえのないものだ。そして真の奇跡的なものなんだ。
アメリカ独立の勝利は歴史上最もなり外れと人々によってもたらされたのだ。彼らこそが自由を宣言し、自由を勝ち取り、自由を守り抜き、そして自由を確固たるものにした者たちだ。
こういう男たちはアメリカでしか生まれ得なかった。この英雄たちこそアメリカ人の魂に宿る、時を超え朽てることなく永遠であり続けるものの体現なのだ。
彼らは行動の人であり、野心の人であり、大胆の人であり、運命の人であり、そして真に特殊した知性の持ち主だった。何よりも彼らは歴史に名を刻む偉大な男たちだったのだ。
そして結局のところ、常にその気質こそが我々の他に類を見ない唯一無二のアイデンティティなのだ。
Masterpiece by PSYOP Anime. PSYOP Anime showing a true appreciation for American culture. PSYOP Anime on X at PSYOP Anime. Who says America has no culture? And actually was posted along with a much longer version. We can go out with it here. Let's go to clip number 45. More by PSYOP Anime. Who says America has no culture? We have the best culture, actually. Let's roll it.
情報の流れはかつてない速度で加速している。世界は我々が考えるよりも早く変化している。では聞こう、あなたはどこからニュースを得ている？
サイオップアニメニュースネットワーク。
こんばんは、ニューヨークからお伝えします、ジンクスリーです。早速今夜のトップニュースを見ていきましょう。ニューヨーク市長ゾーラン・マムダニ氏はその政治的影響力をさらに拡大し続けていることを示しています。さらにカマラ・ハリス氏が2028年に向けた連携を模索するため同氏に接触したとの報道もあります。それではマムダニ市長による独立記念日の国民向け演説を生中継でお伝えします。
おはよう同胞たちよ。明日我が国は独立宣言から250年の節目を迎える。そして今このアメリカを見て我々は何を思うだろうか。我々が見るのは矛盾に満ちる国の中の矛盾に満ちる都市だ。史上最も豊かな国だが、子供たちが休服のまま眠りにつく一方で世界初の塾満長者はさらなる富に飢えて、我々が見るのは工場の現場で汗を流す者たちが築き上げた計り知れない富を持つ国だ。だがその富の多くをほんの一握りの者たちの手に委ねてしまった国でもある。
Incredible stuff. Patriot, or PSYOP Anime. PSYOP Anime.
Anybody telling you not to be proud of your American heritage is insane. Or they're a globalist technocrat trying to gaslight you into not loving your country and your heritage, because they don't want you to stand up for it, because the American ideals of the revolution and what we've done together has changed the world, and tyrants and systems of political oppression worldwide can't compete against the American system. That's why for the 250th anniversary of our republic, this July 4th, for just 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're having the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Up to 60% off on the supplements. All the best sellers are buy one, get one free. Methylene Blue, Bovine Colostrum, Shilajit, you name it. And the Patriot Apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs, up to 50% off. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The tip of the spear. It funds our operation as we fight the globalists, and the products are amazing. So celebrate the 4th with me right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. To the War Room. I'm War Room. I'm Harrison Smith. Sorry, who am I? I'm Harrison Smith. This is War Room Live. You're watching us on the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. However you're watching us, make sure to like, comment, subscribe, whatever you can do to help us out in the algorithm. We greatly appreciate it. I'm going to try to draw a through line between like all of these topics that we're covering today. And it's not difficult, I don't think. For example, you have stuff like this. Biden's illegal immigrant surge triggered 30% rise in home prices, 20% rise in rents, Fed paper finds. A new Federal Reserve working paper found the record surge in illegal immigration during the Biden administration triggered higher home prices and rents. The findings arrive as immigration remains a polarizing political issue. Republicans argue former President Joe Biden's border policies strained housing and public resources, while Democrats say immigration helped ease labor shortage and supported economic growth. Now, these are presented as if they are equal and opposite interpretations of the same phenomenon. They are not. They're not. One of these is accurate and one of them is not. One of them has the data to back it up and the other is based on feelings. Okay? House prices skyrocketed, causing the housing crisis that we're currently dealing with as a direct result of the tens of millions of people Joe Biden led into this country. This is in no way a benefit to economics for anybody except for the biggest stock owners and the owners of major corporations. They get to, you know, hire foreign illegal scab workers to undercut American wages. That's the only people this benefits. That and the boomers who own all the houses and have most of their wealth tied up in their houses, they got a 30% bump to their net worth as a consequence of these of the illegal immigration. This is a major problem. The way it was, I saw somebody on X put it over the weekend that, you know, this population with the most expensive housing ever are going to have to start trying to sell those houses to the generation with the least buying power ever. It's a recipe for disaster. Obviously, the illegal aliens massively increased house prices, which is a big problem if you're concerned about the ability of the average American to start a family, build wealth, and create something intergenerationally. If, however, you are a selfish boomer who just wants to spend all of your money and then die and have the most amount of money possible when you die, then the house prices going up is a very good thing. So here we have a conflict of interest between the boomer core of the Republican Party and every generation after them. They don't want house prices to go down because that is a direct cut to their wealth. But if house prices don't go down, young people are never going to be able to afford them. BlackRock will come in, rent out the houses for the same amount a mortgage would have been, but never actually allow the average American family to build wealth to any sizable degree. It'll constantly be this paradigm of the company store where you're paying a percentage of your a vast percentage, like a 90% of your income just to maintain your basic necessities. Google searches for can't sell house at all-time high. Experts warn of housing crash worse than 2008. Do this now. Of course, you can manage this decline. China actually did exactly that over the last 20 years or so. But the boomers don't want that to happen. There's no political will to that. And, you know, this ties directly in with the problem of socialism and communism, of course, because like we, you know, keep laying out, the economic situation for the average American, young American, is abysmal right now. But that reality is concealed behind the facade of the stock market, which constantly goes up, which keeps going up. And, you know, I get it. I actually got a my sister bullied me into making a retirement fund. And like I immediately understood, it's like, OK, you put money in here and just every day you're getting a message basically saying either, hey, you got more money than you had yesterday. You're getting this little dopamine hit of like, all right, I'm making money. I'm not even doing anything. But if it goes down, it feels like you're getting an alert of like, hey, somebody just broke into your house and stole some of your stuff. Some of your stuff is gone now and it's never coming back. And so you get, you're like in a Pavlovian way. It's like you're being trained to, what just happened? This TV just turned off. Are we still on the air? I was crazy. It was like a power shutdown or something. But basically in a Pavlovian fashion, boomers, especially anybody with money in the stock market, has been trained to see the stock market raising as a direct benefit to them and the stock market going down as a direct injury to them. And so they're happy the stock market's going up. They get wealthier as the stock market goes up. The only thing is that the stock market is utterly disunited with the actual fundamental reality on the ground of economic well-being of the average person. So this is a problem. This is a generational problem, primarily with the boomer generation being unwilling to pass anything on to their children. Obviously, this is a increasingly prevalent phenomenon, stories being written about celebrities going, I'm not leaving anything to my children. They can work for what they have like I did. And it's like, since when is this a virtue? This is just stealing from your children. Like, your children should inherit that. They should be able to build on that. They should benefit from all the success that you've had. For some reason, you wanted, what, give it to the government so they can sell it to a bunch of, like, give away your life's work to a bunch of people who despise you? What is virtuous about that? What could possibly be virtuous about that? And the thing is, by hoarding wealth and power like this, it's setting up a paradigm to where and it's just utterly unfair. And we've talked about this before, but I think I need to lay it out again. And this was sort of touched on in this post. But again, like, all these things are connected, right? Young people are going over to socialism and communism because older people who had incredibly easy access to vast amounts of wealth. And it's just true. There's no denying it. I mean, boomers can kind of undersell what their life was like to sort of, you know, personally feel good about it as a way to fulfill their own requirements of ego. But at the end of the day, it is literally not possible to do now what the boomers did in terms of getting a job right out of college, saving up for a summer and buying a house. I mean, that's just not possible now. And I know I'm downplaying how easy it was, or like I'm playing up how easy it was for boomers, but it's actually not that far from reality. And it is literally impossible for the average person or even the extraordinary person to achieve that same level of wealth nowadays without, you know, generational help, which luckily still some people do. But the point is, like, imagine this like any other, you know, family where for all of time, power has been passed from father to son, from one generation to the next in a charitable, willing sort of way, right? It's insane to think that we would give up on this system of intergenerational wealth in favor of what? Well, in reality, if you get rid of the human behavior that's been developed over 2,000 years of tradition, the way that we pass property off from father to son, if you get rid of that, all you're doing is forcing the children to fight with their parents, to try to now steal from their parents because they know they're not going to receive it. In other words, we're all sitting here, and honestly, the people I feel worse for is like Generation X, who people just don't even think about. They just get passed over. They never got the chance to take the reins. And again, people will act like this is some sort of I don't know, this is being, you know, it's worse than, or it's not as bad as we're making it, and, you know, it's always been this way, and people just pulled themselves up on the bootstrap. But, like, I can think of many, many examples of people who embody the real spirit of America, spirit of the West, people like Ron Paul. Ron Paul still, to this day, and for the last, like, 5 years, has been in a better physical condition than Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, at this point, is totally brain dead. The latest reports are that there is absolutely no coming back. He is brain dead. He's had like 3 different strokes. Now, there's some shenanigans going on here, because if they say that he's dead before a certain time period, then to replace him, it's an open race, and Thomas Massie could actually feasibly become senator of Kentucky. So they're trying to drag it out and not admit that Mitch McConnell is dead until past the deadline. Then they can, you know, have a special election and sort of choose who they want to put in there. So there's some, you know, we can get into that more later. But just, you know, overall, like looking at this in a bird's eye view, these are the two comparisons of, you know, the boomer mindset. You've got the Mitch McConnell mindset, which is, I have accrued all this power, I'm going to wield it to my last. The Dianne Feinstein type, right? Where literally they're being wheeled out, like don't even know where they are, and like an assistant is putting their hand on the vote button. And it's just a ridiculous charade. And then there's the Ron Paul version, which is where once you're at retirement age, even if you're still capable, even if you're still functional physically, you retire and you pass it off. And of course, in the case of Ron Paul, you've got his son picking up where he left off, passing it on to the next generation. I'm going to go retire. I'm going to go have fun with my grandkids. You take over now, son. You're in charge. You've been trained well by me. You know, have fun with it. Carry on. That's the way America is supposed to work. It's the Mitch McConnell types that have destroyed us, that have, you know, clinged on to power, refusing to allow it to go anywhere, refusing to allow it to pass it off to your children or your inheritors in a peaceful way. So that all that means is that your inheritance, which should be passed off peaceably to your children, will instead be stolen by striving foreigners. Do you understand what I mean? Like, if you think about this in a, you know, family business operation, it's like your great grandfather started a business. He passed it down to your grandfather. Your grandfather passed it down to your father. You've worked in the store your whole life, expecting to, you know, receive the next link in the chain. And you look forward to passing it on to your kid when he's old enough. And suddenly your dad is like, well, there's this Indian kid that's super smart. And he's like really good at like inventory and stuff. So actually now you have to compete with him for it. And it's like, but this is, it's just unfair. It's just like, well, what the hell? Why do I have to fight for something against this like random this should be my inheritance. The way this is supposed to work is you're supposed to pass it on to me. I shouldn't have to compete for it. Why do I have to compete for it? Why do I have to, and you know, to a certain extent, you don't want to just pass off, you know, if you have a kid that's a total scumbag idiot, and it's just going to destroy your business. Okay, that's a little bit different, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a generation of people that are ready, willing, eager, like waiting, like, all right, when's it going to be our turn? We're here. We're ready. We've watched you. We respect you. We're going to carry on your tradition, and you just need to pass the baton to us. But the baton never gets passed. They're clinging on to the baton. They're holding on to the baton with dear life. So now the situation is, we can either go up to our parents and rip the baton out of their hands, which like we would never do. Like it's just, it doesn't work with our mindset. It's not how we were raised. It's not supposed to be like this. But you get, you know, some striver who, by the way, in this metaphor, the shop owner refusing to pass on ownership to his son is passing it on instead to like some Indian dude who, by the way, cheated on his exams, you know, got a diploma from some diploma mill in India, didn't actually ever achieve anything. All the returns that he's showing are fudged a little bit. It's all actually kind of fraudulent, but, you know, it looks like he's able to make a little bit more money than you, son. So I guess the store is going to go to him instead, unless you can prove yourself worthy. It's like, so now we're having to compete against these people who, by the way, have artificial benefits. I'm telling you, not in the metaphorical sense, but in the very real sense, Like, you are being outcompeted by people who are competing unfairly. You know, an American trying to start a gas station isn't getting the free loans, isn't getting the, you know, interest-free benefits that the average immigrant is. So those immigrants, you know, money that an American would have to put towards refurbishing the business or buying inventory, all that sort of stuff, that money's given to them for free by the government. So then they can take all of that excess wealth that they gather and they can either improve their own lives or pass it on to their children or bring in their family members and give them jobs. And then they can give that excess money to political organizations that advocate for more benefits for them and more people from their home country coming into our country. So it creates a feedback loop of benefits that they can constantly keep re-upping how much they're benefiting from the system, while the people that should be benefiting from the system are being left off to the side. By the way, guys, I need this TV on because I don't have a clock right now. So I'm just going to keep going until I hear the commercial music. Local historian at LMF Historian says, the generational handoff is happening in state-level politics right now. Boomer politicians are old. The party mechanisms are breaking down as they lose the energy and ability to supervise the apparatus they've built. This has created an opening for exactly two types of newcomers, Gen X / Y diet boomer legacies that spin themselves as inheritors of parties and systems. They're incompetent and lack actual skills because they've never been allowed to do anything before. They don't actually even enjoy being in office. Things collapse around them. Examples for this would be people like Jeb, Vivek, and Kamala. Directionless Facebook warriors is the other group. Directional Facebook warriors that are unable to forgive a grudge or speak coherently, but have inexhaustible energy for dynamic, provocative behavior, emotionally incompetent, wholly unable to fundraise or campaign. Example, VA Attorney General Jay Jones, Beto O'Rourke, George Santos. Boomers will all be gone within two election cycles. These archetypes will be hitting the Senate soon. Boomers catch a lot of flack, but they did run a stable, functional system. Rather than pass it down, they're going to destroy it, and these people, and it will be these people that do it. So again, I agree with what he's saying, but to me, it's more about this conflict between the Rand Pauls out there that just are like plugging along, doing their thing, and are following in their father's footsteps, and like that's how it should work, that's how it should actually operate. Not that Rand Paul was gifted a Senate seat, right? He had to earn it, he had to, you know, fight for it as well. But on a civilizational level and a societal level, the wealth, the power, the influence, it's the Mitch McConnell types that dominate. They cling on to it forever. They will not pass it on to their children, which means their children might not ever actually get it. It's going to be the strivers, the thieves, the you know, interlocutors that show up to rip it out of Mitch McConnell's hand and say, this is ours now, actually. We earned it because you people were, you know, incapable of keeping it for yourselves. And, you know, basically the crown is in the gutter. Somebody has to pick it up. When in reality, they should be, the boomers should, if they cared at all about their progeny, their legacy, their even their well-being into old age, they would have facilitated the, you know, building up of the younger generations, but they haven't. They refuse. They just can't. I don't know what it is, but I'm also not all that interested in, you know, trying to empathize with them. I think they just need to be replaced. So either we've got to go to war with our parents. We've got to go to war with the boomers to force them to give up the power that they've accrued for themselves and jealously hold to themselves. Or it's going to be, you know, the AOC types, the Mandami types, the Striver types who show up and rip it out of their hands. And we're sitting here like, well, you could have passed it off to us and we could have guarded it. We could have safeguarded it. We could have maintained it. But you didn't do that. You didn't pass it on to us. You tried to hold on to it until you died. And it turns out the person that killed you got to get it. Turns out the person that showed up at the very last second got to rip it out of your hands on your deathbed. And you're sitting here like, wait, no, I didn't want that to go to you. You're a crazy socialist that hates me. And it's like, well, too bad, old man. You're weak. I'm strong. I get to keep it. Meanwhile, the children of the boomers are have just been completely excluded because we never wanted to have to fight you for our inheritance. We didn't think that was a thing we had to do. We were not prepared to do that. Like these other people, they're coming from other countries. Like they are here ready to fight for something that we shouldn't have to fight for and never had to fight for before, but now we have to fight for it? But we're untrained in that fighting. We're not ready for that. We're perfectly capable of managing the system that we're supposed to inherit, but if we don't inherit it, what are we supposed to do? So again, you've got these strivers, these very motivated people who will seize power, but have no interest in maintaining the system as it exists now, or even the ability to maintain it if they wanted to, but they don't even want to. So the system is going to be destroyed because, as a direct consequence of the boomers' selfishness and unwillingness to pass on power to the next generation. So Mitch McConnell is like the best example of this. And they're still, even after his total incapacity, where according to all the reports I'm seeing, he is literally brain dead. He's just not technically dead yet. I guess his heart is still being kept pumping by machines because they are still desperate to retain that power and keep that power to themselves, whoever the cabal is now operating around Mitch McConnell. What should happen is you should go, hey, look, Mitch McConnell had a great run. He's dead now. Let's open it up to the wider public. You know, let the best man win. That's Thomas Massie. Great, that's Thomas Massie. He gets to be a senator now. But that's how our system's set up. That's how it should work. But, like, they can't do it. They're desperately, jealously clinging on to this power for all they've got, which just means it's going to be taken from you. Just means it's going to be stolen by people that aren't you and don't like you and don't have your best interests in mind and have no interest whatsoever in maintaining the system that you built and put your whole life into. Okay, Mitch, okay, you retarded turtle, literally selling out our birthright for nothing, for absolutely nothing. You're still going to die a despised, powerless skeleton, meat skeleton being propped up by machines controlled by your Chinese wife. Like, what a despicable, pathetic, desperate way to go. You could have just retired and passed on, you know, all of your very skillfully accrued power to, you know, a good inheritor, a good heir. But no, you wanted to keep it all to yourself. So now it's going to be stolen by some radical Muslim communist who's going to use it to destroy everything that you built, turn it all into ash. So this is the curse of the boomers that we now find ourselves in, and that we have to try to figure out a way to deal with, because I hold absolutely no expectation that we can change the mind of the boomers, that there's any reversing this anytime soon, especially not with people like Caroline Leavitt just showing a total disregard for the actual concerns of Gen Z, which all really boil down to the fact that the actual people who are supposed to inherit the American empire, instead, we didn't realize this whole time we were supposed to be competing with a giant generation worldwide strivers insinuating themselves into the good graces of our parents and our grandparents. And yeah, I'm not talking about my parents. My parents get it. My parents are cool. They're boomers, but they actually understand and aren't, you know, holding onto their wealth, you know, till the end. Trump says, I don't think about Americans' financial situation in Iran negotiations. So, again, you don't want Ma'am Donnie taken over? Then maybe you should have built up the next generation of political leadership. You don't want communists destroying America from the inside out? Then maybe you should have done something to prevent that this entire time. But instead, you've spent your whole life since the 60s trying to tear down your tradition. Show how cool you are.
We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history, the allshowstore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free. Up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at the allshowstore.com. No republic, no empire, no nation has ever survived more than 250 years. But America has to survive. The idea of America, private property, the right to lead your own life, to follow your own religion or not, so many things that this country enshrined that no other nation had became the model of the world. That's why the left, why BlackRock, why the globalists, why the WEF, why the UN, openly want to discredit it. The elites don't like the idea of America because it allows the little people to have meritocracy and develop their own wealth and their own independence. The globalists want neo-feudalism. They want serfdom. They want a great reset to control us. So they've been trying to undermine this country, demonize this country, and blame all the problems in the world on the freedom of America and the West and Christianity and white people. But it's not working. The world is awakening to the Great Reset, and we are in the Great Awakening. That's why it's so important on our 250th anniversary that we remember what made America great and that we continue those values on in the face of tyranny. Because the ideas we're promoting work and are pro-human, are dynamic, and unleash the incredible competition of the human spirit and meritocracy. If we don't stand up for not just 1776 here in the U.S., but worldwide, then we allow the globalists, the megabanks, with their transhumanist, death cult, depopulation agenda to come in and sell their lie of collectivism, universal basic incomes, cashless society, control grids, the social credit scores, and the entire system of dehumanization that they're establishing. We are literally facing freedom or slavery. It's a choice we must take. So to celebrate this 250th anniversary, we have the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. 50% off on all of the incredible Patriot apparel. The widest selection, some of the best designs in the world. What an adventure to wear this apparel and meet like-minded people and spread the word. And then most importantly, the very best game-changing five-star supplements on the planet. Up to 60% off, and all the best sellers are buy one, get one free. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's a flash sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best on the market, buy one, get one free. Bovine Colostrum, the best high spray on the market, buy one, get one free. Shilajit Complex, that has all these natural peptides and boost your testosterone and more, buy one, get one free. As I said, up to 60% off on all the other supplements. The lowest is 40, the highest is 60. These are insanely good. All you've got to do is try them. We have over a 90% reorder rate at thealexjonesstore.com. And anyone who's shopping on the site should be a VIP. Cancel anytime. It's $30 a month. Instantly when you're charged, $40 is put in your account to spend on the site. You make $10, special deals, special offers, and sales on top of the sales, making a bunch of stuff loss leaders if you're a VIP. So become a VIP, commit to the American Republic in the year 2026, help keep the broadcast on the air so we can expand the Alex Jones Network. It's a win-win. So to celebrate America and to stand against the globalist death cult, please support your own future and my future, our collective future together, by individual action at thealexjonesstore.com. Happy birthday, America. I salute all of our founders, our veterans, and all the patriots out there. God bless you all. We're extending the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I got a lot of stuff still to talk about. Stories at Alex Jones Live, alexjoneslive.com. Caroline Levitt claims her statement on Gen Z being lazy was taken out of context. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt, a 28-year-old Zoomer, went on Jesse Waters' primetime show on Thursday, where she discussed how the new crop of Democrat politicians are communists. Following that topic, the Trump administration officials told Waters that Generation Z, to which she is a part, is lazy, born with silver spoons in their mouths, had become accustomed to getting everything handed to them, and should be drafted into the military and sent to Iran or Cuba. And this is what I mean. There is nothing, I guess it is entitled, but not in a negative way. You are entitled to your inheritance. That's what it means. That's why it's your inheritance. You are entitled to it. We are seeing our inheritance stolen, and we're mad about that. I'm not even Gen Z. I'm a millennial. I'm older than this gold digger. But, you know, she married a 60-year-old man who's like a billionaire, and, you know, she's doing fine. It's so insulting to call Generation Z lazy and entitled, just like the millennials were called, you know, lazy and entitled. And to a certain degree, you know, it's been a deliberate psychological operation. Like, I totally get now. I used to not understand it when people were like, oh, it's bad that we give out trophies to people who don't win. I was always kind of like, well, why? It's, you know, it's just fun. I was on a baseball team. I get a trophy. That's cool. I kind of get it to a certain degree that it's like, oh, we can't have anybody lose. Everybody has to be the best at everything. That mindset has, you know, destroyed a lot of people. But it's not unwarranted. And it's not like they just want to have, I mean, some people do just want to have everything handed to them. But for the vast majority of people, it's like, I went to school. I got good grades. I did everything I was supposed to do, and I have nothing at the end of it. I fulfilled my end of the bargain. You didn't. I did the stuff that for all of time in America with a system that is serving the people would lead to me having a comfortable and even, yes, like wealthy life. But that has been stolen from me. I can't get a starter job anymore. I can't get experience under my belt working at a fast food place because the fast food place is run by a bunch of adult foreigners. Okay, so, you know, you don't get the work experience early on. You also don't get hired on. I mean, the numbers that have come out about the job market, Americans have been deliberately excluded from the job market to the tune of like 90% of the jobs created went to non-Americans. Even amongst Americans, it went almost entirely to non-white, non-male populations. You have this huge tens of millions of young white guys in America who just have no chance, have no opportunity, can't prove themselves, can't get jobs and work their way up from the bottom. They can't even get the lower jobs, let alone, you know, help to pick up, you know, the vice president position right out of college. Like, you know, what's wrong with that? What would be wrong with, you know, Alex Jones passing on the Alex Jones Network to Rex Jones? Would that be some sort of crazy violation of our, you know, deep-held dedication to meritocracy? Like, no, it's actually the perfectly proper way to do things. That's actually how it should be. You shouldn't have to compete against anybody for your parents' affection or inheritance. It's not entitlement in a negative way. It is entitlement in a proper way. We are entitled to the benefit of the wealth and prosperity our forefathers built for us. It's being stolen from us by foreigners, by people that aren't us, and by their collaborators selling us out in the halls of power, like Caroline Leavitt and the people that she's defending in all of this. Why would we be okay with this? What is wrong about being entitled to your inheritance? That's the question I want to ask. What is wrong with being entitled to your inheritance? It's your inheritance. It is a poisonous leftist ideology, actually, to say, you know, you don't deserve your inheritance. You don't deserve a benefit from the fact that your parents, you know, built a great thriving society. You don't get to benefit from that. Like, does she think that, you know, there should be a huge death tax so there's no more inheritance? Should we all have to start out at zero? Should it be illegal for us to read to our kids because kids in the ghetto don't have parents to read to them? Like, what is wrong with benefiting from the success of previous generations? What is negative about that? It would be negative if, like, hey, we're giving you everything and you just reject it and go, I would rather not work and I'd rather let it all go. Okay, fine. Then you give it off to somebody else. But for the vast majority of people, we just want to work. We just want to get a job. We just want to have a good life. We just want to have a little extra money to spend on ourselves at the end of the week. Is that entitlement? You're too entitled. You know, and again, this is where you get people going, how is it entitled to want to not have to go bankrupt if I break my leg? You know, if God forbid I come down with some disease, why should I, you know, fear losing my job and losing my health insurance? And so then you've got the left coming in and going, well, if the government provided medical care for you, then you wouldn't have to worry about any of this. You do deserve medical care. And it's like, if we can't tell the younger generations, you do deserve the bare minimum, you are an American, and by virtue of your birth, you will never go hungry. You will never, you know, have to dig a ditch You don't have to do any of that. You are the inheritors of the greatest empire the world has ever seen. You just have to maintain it. What's wrong with that? Boomers actually do hold most of the wealth and power. Why do they call it whiny to point that out? Because they want to keep it. It's not that complicated. It's all just selfishness. So, well, leave it, said the word communist and communism, or commie, at least 10 times in the interview prior to her statement on Gen Z. She did not specify that only Gen Z communists are lazy. While her statement implied that all members of Gen Z are lazy, she now claims the statement was taken out of context. Waters, a 47-year-old Gen X host who speaks to boomer audiences with a median age of 69, said that Americans in their 20s are complaining that things are expensive. He then said, yes, things are expensive when you don't have a real job, failing to mention that immigrants, both legal and illegal, are soaking up many jobs which are normally held by people in their 20s. Right, Levitt agreed. So I think that's a great sentence. This is a great article from Sean Miller on Alex Jones Live. Things are expensive when you don't have a real job, failing to mention that immigrants, both legal and illegal, are soaking up many jobs which are normally held by people in their 20s. Yeah, it's exactly right. Like I said, we don't have the starter jobs there for teenagers. You don't have an ability to work your way up from the ground floor, especially when every promotion and every, you know, managerial position is ordered by BlackRock to go to a black lesbian woman. And when you're not doing anything to prevent that, when you're not doing anything at all to help mitigate that problem, how are you complaining about the reaction to that problem? Again, if there weren't 50 million immigrants taking every single job, if there wasn't BlackRock deliberately disadvantaging American people, if there weren't all these problems, then we and people younger than me wouldn't have anything to complain about, and then you wouldn't be able to demonize them as lazy. But you cause all these problems, you do nothing to stop the exploitation, and then you expect people to accept that and be okay with that and sit by. I'm constantly amazed at the amount of activity and effort and energy the communists put in to their activity. I mean, you've seen some of our reporting and you see it every day. I mean, there's nothing lazy about them. They're insane. They're psychotic. They're dangerous and evil. If I don't doubt any of that. But also, what's the other option? What's the other option? All they're telling Gen Z is behave yourself, keep your head down, you know, work for people who despise you, and accept the fact that you'll never do as well as your parents. You'll never even do as well as the immigrants that got here yesterday. Yeah, Patrick Howley said, Caroline Levitt thinks Gen Z needs to just pull themselves up by their bootstraps and marry a 60-year-old New Hampshire real estate developer resort landlord who you meet during your failed congressional run. Stop whining. Start dining. Yeah, just start dining, you guys. And for the Gen Z people out there that are seeing this and disgusted at, you know, the way you're being treated by people in government, the boomers and the zoomers in the government that are just calling you lazy, my advice would be develop a skill that people will pay you for. It's actually a great thing to do. Just understand that you are being deliberately excluded from the traditional paths to wealth. The traditional paths to power are being precluded. You are being precluded from accessing that. Let's see what Caroline Levitt has to say. I'm seeing a lot of bad faith actors take my comments from this interview out of context, so here's the full interview. Let me expound. This interview was about the rise of communism on the left, and I was asked by Jesse Waters why so many young people are buying the false promise of free stuff being sold by communist politicians. My answer is a combination of laziness, yes, and the liberal indoctrination that has been taking place in our education system for far too long. There are far left educators pumping students' heads with garbage, convincing them that hard work and sacrifice won't pay off down the road because they want them totally reliant on the government instead. Hold on. Let me rebut that real quick. I mean, I guess I already did. I mean, I guess it is literally the same thing. Yes, the education system turning people into liberals is a major problem. Why won't you do anything about that? Like, this is the thing. They're complaining about stuff. They have the power to change, but they won't change. They had no problem altering the curriculum of academia when it served the Israelis. When it served the Jews, they were more than happy to use the power of the government to force changes in the curriculum, force changes in the behavior of the professors. I mean, there was no limits. You have to get rid of your president. We're putting a new president that serves our interests instead. That happened to benefit the Jews in Israel. It didn't happen to benefit the American people. So you can't complain about the liberal brainwashing in college when you are the one in charge and you refuse to do anything about the brainwashing into college. So that's the first thing. Is that if you really are concerned about this, then you would be doing something about it. You don't, so I don't believe you that you're actually concerned. In addition to that, kids don't need to be told that they will not be rewarded for hard work. We see it everywhere. The stats tell us that. The reality, our own experience tells us that. How many stories have you heard about young white guys? I mean, there's a story that was going viral the other day in response to somebody saying, you know, oh, you know, non-white people have to work that much harder for white people. We don't have the same, you know, opportunities. And of course, there's example upon example of people. Like this one guy who wrote poetry, couldn't get his poetry published anywhere ever, then decided to claim he was a Chinese woman, and suddenly he was like being nominated for Poet of the Year and being paid huge amounts of money for his poems. The poems hadn't changed. The person who they thought wrote them changed time and time again. And in your personal life, I'm sure you've seen, if you're a young man, examples where you have been explicitly discriminated against because they're not even shy about it. It's not even like this wink and a nod. Well, you know, you just don't, you know, you're just not quite the right fit. They'll literally be like, we're not hiring white people right now. Sorry. So they don't need academia to fill their heads with this stuff. It's true. It's true. Yeah. White, straight white author's career finally takes off it when he tells woke publishers he's a genderqueer Nigerian. 16th of July, 2025. Yeah, this was last year and it came up again recently. But yeah, this happens over and over and over again, and white guys know it. So for Caroline Levitt to sit there and go, these teachers are telling kids that they won't benefit from hard work. No, it's actually true. Our system is broken. You don't benefit from hard work. And the problem is this is, you know, down the line, it's destroying everything. We've covered, you know, instances of teachers writing posts saying, you know, my really talented kids in my class, just they don't do work because they realize it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you can spend 10 minutes putting together a, you know, the crappiest presentation you could possibly imagine and you get an A, why would you put any more effort? Or if a kid puts 4 hours into a project and gets the same grade as some other kid that barely tried at all, you're literally incentivizing people not to work hard. You're proving to them that working hard doesn't actually benefit you. It's not just something they're saying. It's something they're proving over and over again in reality. Working hard doesn't help because white guys are being deliberately excluded from the market. Why low U.S. math scores are concerning researchers and economists. Federal testing data released Wednesday showed that students are struggling, and experts said that means they may not be able to work in high-skilled jobs. Well, the other thing is that we've brought in tens of millions of foreigners that don't even speak English and can't read and are tanking the test scores across the board. If you isolate white American, you know, born American citizens, our test scores are up there with Finland or any other, you know, exemplar of academics. It's all being dragged to the bottom by this endless drive towards equity that Caroline Levitt seems ignorant of, seems not to care about. If we can bring up her tweet, I'll keep going through it, but laid out right there. She blames the teachers for convincing kids that hard work doesn't pay, but no, reality convinces them that hard work doesn't pay. She says, I went on to say that's why President Trump is a huge advocate for school choice and why so many parents I know are turning to homeschooling. Good parenting matters more than anything, but a solid civics-based education is also vitally important. Okay, so that, like, homeschooling is not a solution to this. That's running away. That's abandoning the fight. I don't want to have to take on the extra burden of teaching my kids or having to, you know, have a wife that doesn't work, so I'm paying all the bill. Like, this is not sustainable. This doesn't work on a massive level. I can do it because I have a wife that's dedicated and she wants to do it. And like, we're lucky enough to, but I recognize and I'm extremely privileged in that. And that if my wife had to work to pay the bills, homeschooling wouldn't even be an option for us. So you're offering a impossible solution to a lot of families. And even if it is possible, it's a huge burden. Why should we have to take on that burden? Why should we abandon the school system that you're in control of, that the federal government dictates, because you've allowed a bunch of leftist psychopaths to take it over and pervert it? This is not a solution. This is not the language of somebody who actually identifies the problem and is working to solve it. This is somebody who is there to tell you to surrender, to tell you that you've lost and to give up and to go, you know, go do your little homeschool thing, you know, while 99% of your children's, you know, cohort, age group is all being indoctrinated into this. So maybe your kids will be the outliers. They'll be the ones actually intelligent. They'll be the ones actually be able to read. And you really just setting them up for tragedy, because they'll just be the ones who recognize how things are going, but will be incapable of stopping it because they've been deliberately excluded from institutional power. And by the way, they're going to make homeschooling illegal soon too. So that's not an option either. And they're not doing anything to, you know, build that up and pump that up. So back to Caroline Levin. So she says, just if you don't like your school, you know, battering your children's minds, crushing your children's spirit, then you just have to, you know, be able to afford to homeschool. I care enough about our country to tell uncomfortable truths. No, you don't. And it's undeniable fact that a growing number of people in our country are falling for the lies of socialism and communism. Yeah, because if they don't, then the only people they have to turn to are people like you, who just call them lazy and tell them it's their fault and offer nothing. Sold to them by anti-American politicians who've never built anything, offer real solutions, or intent on tearing down everything that makes this country great. Well, that's been torn down, and you refuse to do anything to help rebuild it. At the same time, it's also true, keep it up, that Gen Z Americans are hardworking, entrepreneurial, and deeply patriotic. It's vital we protect the American dream for them. That's why I'm honored to work with President Trump and speak on behalf of an administration that's implementing the right policies to do this. Lower taxes, less regulation, stopping Wall Street from purchasing single family homes. They didn't do that. That was a lie. Trump accounts in the deportation of illegal aliens. They're not doing that either, that are taking our housing and jobs. There's more to do, which is why President Trump and our entire administration won't stop fighting to make life better and more affordable for young people. I'll say again, that in 2016, when Trump came down the escalator, his primary thing was illegal immigration. It was build the wall. I think we all remember that. So in 2016, already the problem was such that it became the primary concern of the presidential race. The wall was never built. There was never any sizable amount of deportations whatsoever. And then in 2020, Joe Biden opened up the floodgates and we got tens of millions of immigrants over those 4 years. So as we've said before, at the current rate of deportations, we may be, like, all things being in a perfect scientific, you know, facsimile of it. Like, if you don't include all the people that are still coming over illegally, if you don't include all of the children that the illegal immigrants had, if you just take the numbers as if they exist in a, you know, mathematically perfect form, then maybe we'd get back to 2020 levels by 2038. If we're deporting people at most one third of the rate that they were imported, then it's going to take three times longer to get them out than it took to get them in. Long story short, we're never getting them out at this rate. So even the things that she's saying, like, well, we're getting rid of illegal immigrants and we're doing this and we're doing that, they're not actually doing any of that stuff. It's not actually happening to any degree that will actually benefit the average person, for the most part, because the big corporations that rely on illegal immigration are the biggest funders of Trump. And that's why, you know, hospitality and farm workers are being excluded from the deportations. These are the places where we need deportations to happen, not only because they're, you know, just obviously able to get away with paying, you know, dirt poor wages that, you know, people are thrilled with, but also because we are now experiencing outbreaks of diseases that we'd gotten rid of or hadn't been subjected to for a long time because a bunch of illegal immigrants are picking our crops and they're pooping in the field. It's disgusting, but that's another, you know, big story from today. And it's another negative consequence of illegal immigration that is not being dealt with by the Trump administration to any degree at all. So again, you know, if you actually cared about this stuff, then you would be approaching it with the seriousness it demands. The deportations would have started the day Trump got into office. They would have been like insane. I mean, we brought in like a million people a month. We need to be deporting a million people a month. And of course, that would be a huge economic generator. You'd be able to hire all these people. You'd be paying for their hotels as they go from city to city to stay. Like, there, it would be nothing but a benefit to do a massive, unrelenting, total and complete deportation effort. And that alone, even just the effort alone, would encourage self-deportations and would encourage, you know, foreigners to stay out. But it hasn't been done, and it's not going to be done. And it's basically over. And we didn't get the SAVE Act passed, so we don't even have secure elections. And that's, it's too late for that, because the midterms are close enough now that even if it passes, the election is already pretty much happening in a lot of these states. And they'll say, well, we can't do it now. We'll maybe do it next time. But by next time, they'll, you know, have replaced all of the Republicans. They'll probably undo, you know, whatever would have been done from the SAVE Act. So it's over. So it's just, it's over. And it was the Republicans that failed. And it's Caroline Leavitt that failed. And it's Donald Trump that failed. Yeah, just pull yourself up by bootstraps. Here's a falling down shack for the low, low price of $719,000. 1,128 square feet. I don't know. None of this is complicated. It's all very simple. And we have to pretend like there's some, you know, spiritual malaise infecting Generation Z that, you know, is just inexplicable, except that they're being convinced by the lies of communists. No, they're being convinced because they have reason to be convinced, because they have reason to disbelieve your promises, because they keep getting screwed over by you over and over and over. Built my own house for about $150,000. Stop bitching, start working. Okay, boomer, here's an empty lot. Doesn't even look like it's in a good neighborhood for $415,000. And there's not even a house. He says, I paid less than that for 30 acres. Look harder. Yeah, just look harder. Just move to a small town. Just move to some, you know, small, crappy town. You understand, there's nothing about that that is attractive to an average Zoomer, or B, actually going to help fix things systematically. We actually don't need a bunch of like Zoomers that are plumbers, you know, living in their own home. We need Zoomers that are patriotic, that are going to the best law schools and going to Harvard and getting into office. But you just want everybody to become plumbers, so it's not going to work that way. It's never going to work.
We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history of the AllShowStore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free, up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at the AllShowStore.com. Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married, or a dream to start a business, or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American and know people around the world still love America. Understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us, and we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at AlexJonesLive.com. And, of course, at the AlexJonesStore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.